So what's some of your, favorite stuff? Give me a couple
of
things.
Oh, wow. One of my favorites. Well, I mean, like some of the things I've written about on Retro Thing have become my favorites because it's become our readers' favorites.
Okay.
And so, like, I had never really given it a second thought, but, like, I mention this almost every time this comes up, is one of my earliest posts was about these plastic presidents that are basically the same quality as, like, Green Army men. And here in Chicago, they were given away at Jewel. So when you went to get groceries...
Which is a grocery store chain here in Chicago.
Yeah, you'd get a little president. And the point I made with that... Okay, so I found this set, and they're on this styrofoam display rotunda thing. And they go up to Nixon. And so they're kind of neat, and I wrote about them. And for some reason, the internet really cares that we wrote about these presidents. And the point I made with that was not only, boy, how goofy, but like if that toy existed today, it would be in a snooty educational store. You know, like you could not give a kid this toy now without him being really disappointed. Each president would need to have a sound chip in it. His eyes would need to light up. And it wouldn't be enough that, like, just mom came home and had, you know, I keep wanting to say Ben Franklin. He was never president. But let's say a president.
And Thomas Jefferson.
Thank you very much. Good Lord. I could have pulled out a nickel and figured that out myself. But a kid wouldn't be that interested today. And, okay, yeah, toys are cooler today, but it's unfortunate that the new thing is at the cost of the old thing. But let's see, lava lamps. I will never stop loving lava lamps.
Maybe they kind of had a revival a little while ago.
Well, and now you can buy them for next to nothing.
Yeah, right. Because everyone bought one, got tired of it, sent it back to the thrift store,
right.
And now it's a dime. The best thing that can happen sometimes is that things come back and are a trend because you wait a couple of years and clean up.
The Prisoner was a huge influence on me, and they had a lot of lava lamps there, too.
Okay.
I have these orange couches that I'm just way too proud of, you know, because they're bright orange vinyl. And so, you know, you can spill on them. You can. There's
That's
nothing
right.
you can do to them.
And you can buy Naugahyde repair kits.
Right. I could get a tire patch kit if I ever put a hole in the couch. So, I mean, those have survived for 40-some years for a reason. So they're out there. But, like, I'm fond of lots of toys and things like that. Like, James likes anything with a motor in it or that has ammunition in it. But he's not a violent guy. He's, like, the sweetest guy. But
that's how he gets it out.
We cover the gamut. Mm-hmm. You know, he handles all the kind of manly stuff, and I handle the rest. But yeah, Casio SK1, gotta love the Casio. And it's great that like...
First like home consumer sampling keyboard.
Sampling keyboard. You know, the first time a kid could play with backwards masking.
Right.
Or, you know, burping into it and playing Jingle Bells. And it's...
I should have brought mine in. I really should have.
Well, and that's... And if I were thinking... I mean, it's such a part of my life, I don't even think of it as being unusual.
Right.
Sadly, there's no replacement for it. It was this cheap battery-powered keyboard. You could sample. You could even learn how to play. But there's nothing like it now, even though sampling should be cheaper than ever. Mm-hmm. And that's really bizarre. I don't understand why Casio isn't doing that.
So you brought along some vinyl here as well.
I did bring some vinyl along.
So we got a couple interesting finds to share with folks.
Well, yeah, let's see. I don't know exactly what it is you have queued up, so let's stump the guest.
So Andrew there in the control room, maybe we could bring up turntable one, and you can just let it loose whenever you've got that.
Rome refuses to play.
Apparently it got moved.
The best service need not be more expensive. Give us a call today.
Okay, I know what this is. Okay, so this is a record that they'd send out to a radio station to use almost like audio clip art. And this is about TV repair. And these are brilliant because they're in English, but they sound so foreign because they're so weird.
You can pop that down.
It's great.
And TV repair itself is kind of retro because you can't repair, because they're not worth repairing anymore.
You can't repair anything. The most you can do is like maybe swap out a battery, you know, and that's pretty much it.
So this was just so a radio station would get this and they'd use it in their ad department. So they would say, okay, well, Joe's TV Repair Shop on Main Street. And they'd have these
generic jingles that would like be these people like highly produced commercials about singing about air conditioning. You know, and then there would be that spot where your announcer of your station would lay something down.
So they could charge an extra $10 to the local business.
I mean, records like that are really cool because they're all gone. Because like those records got thrown away every month.
Because who thought they were worth
keeping? I've got a couple hundred. And I keep thinking, like whenever I get a new client for a commercial, I'm like, hey, can't we use these? You know, nobody wants to use 50-year-old production elements. One day, I will find the perfect client for this stuff.
All right, man, we can go to turntable two now.
Okay, all right, there's a wah-wah pedal with hair on it. Okay, that's the themed match game, everybody. This is from Score Productions, which is a company that still exists today that does music for TV, does stuff for commercials, and they did like every game show theme.
And so this is a demo reel.
This is their demo record that they would send to customers. And what's funny is I actually called them a few years ago. The way I even got this record is I called and asked them about this obscure series called Marlowe and the Magic Movie Machine that was syndicated in like 3 states, and I remembered watching it growing up. And the guy said, "Oh, my dad wrote that music. I think we still have a demo record around," and he sent it to me. So, I mean, that's what's kind of cool about retro thing is, like, these treasures are still out there. You know, you just... I just stumble across stuff. I have the gift.
All right, we can pop that down. And you brought along... you brought along some more musical accompaniment here.
Well, okay, let's hope this works, because it's cold in Chicago. I've written about these before. They're called hit sticks. And this is in the 80s when everybody was doing electronic music-y stuff. I think they just all use the exact same chip, but this is like a little Walkman-sized pack that is hooked to these drumsticks. There we go. That's the high tom. There you go. That's the low tom. You recognize that, don't you? And here we go. There we go. Some disco drums. And I'm just waving these sticks around in the air.
And so they're very nice, sort of safety orange.
right, blaze orange.
So if you got that on and maybe have headphones, I don't know if it takes headphones even, or does it just have?
No, it just has a speaker.
So you're walking along and you're really stuck in your own rhythm, right? And you accidentally, you know, jaywalk.
Exactly.
Do you ever want to get on the L with that and just kind of rock out?
I have to admit that there are times when there's somebody being a jerk on public transportation and you really wish you had your own drum kit with you.
Right. Or you could just get over, or you could go downtown, you know, where you can, with the musicians.
Well, and I guess really what I should do is dress up like the kid on the box and like cuff my jeans and put on like 3 jelly bracelets and just walk around in town.
That's some fun. And you bought that at like a thrift shop?
Undoubtedly a thrift store. Probably set me back like 50 cents.
Wow. So here's the big question.
Okay.
Thrift store, eBay.
Oh.
Where do you stand on that dichotomy there?
You know, it's funny because eBay in a lot of ways, like the collector crowd, you know, I've made this distinction. I'm not a collector, but I do respect the collectors. They have said things like eBay has ruined collecting. And maybe that's true depending on what it is you want out of collecting. Because for me, the fun of going to a thrift store is having no idea what you're going to find. And you're just constantly exploring when you go to a thrift store. Whereas eBay has shown that just everything that's ever been made is available and has a value, and if you're willing to pay it, you can have it. So, I mean, that's great if you're trying to fill a hole in a collection, or maybe you're trying to recover a precious memory. But if you're into that like safari-like search, it's, you know, it's a little bit of a loss.
Well, eBay, in my estimation, I mean, it shows both the best and worst tendencies of the crowd and of something becoming
hip. That's
true. I've noticed this phenomenon, say, with photography, with like 35mm cameras, is that all of a sudden some relatively well-known blog or website will mention some long-forgotten, like 35mm camera from 1983 and say, no, that one, it had this amazing lens and you could just do this with it. And it'll go from, you know, one day to the next on eBay, they're going for $3 or $4 and then they're going for $35, $40,
right,
$50, $65,
right.
$75 and you're reading message boards. People are like, I was going to go pick up this Minox GT and now it's $200. Should I get that? And I'm always like, well, the whole point before that was that you could pick them up for $5.
Yeah, it is the ruination of stuff like that. Like
in A-Trax, it happens.
A-Trax, Atari, I think. Like mm-hmm. For me, with me and my Atari life, it comes from never having stopped buying Atari games since the 80s, because like in the late 80s, early 90s, they'd often be mixed with the 8-Trax and you can get them for 10 or 20 cents.
right.
So I amassed this like nice collection. But then when things like eBay started to happen, then cartridges were suddenly like $5, $10, which seemed odd to me. And certain cartridges you'll see trade regularly for like $100 or something.
But that's
like that.
Right, because someone wants some very specific, you know, maybe somewhat rare cartridge that's otherwise hard to find.
And many of them, because of the internet, have acquired a legendary status that they don't deserve. Like there's one game called Chase the Chuck Wagon, which was put out by a dog food company. It's not a good game, and it's not really that hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
But because it has this legend, it'll get $300 on eBay. Now, because of the economy being where it is today, eBay might be a good place to start looking for that stuff because a lot of people are selling their things,
to make a little bit of money.
And I think things are getting cheaper. And so, you know, if somebody is looking for something they've read about on Retro Thing, maybe now is the time to check it out on eBay.
Well, there's that, and then there's that process of obsolescence. And if you catch it at the right point of that descending curve, I mean, you mentioned Atari. I remember when Atari was starting, when there was like a glut. It was like maybe the nadir when there was the big video game crash in the early 80s, when there was like 15 different systems, and it was right before Nintendo's came out, and just things fell apart. The whole industry crashed, and I would go with my folks to the department store called Bradley's on the East Coast, but it's like a Target or something like that, and they just had an end cap of Atari games for $1 to $3, brand new in box. And my folks and I would go home with 20 or 30 games.
That's great.
Because my folks were bargain hunters.
Sure.
You know? And I kind of did the same thing in sort of the CD era. Mm-hmm, people were just dumping their vinyl collections like crazy. Yeah. And I was picking up amazing albums, some of which, again, had never been seen on CD, for $1 or $2 a piece.
Because
everyone's worried, oh my gosh, your records are obsolete. You won't be able to play them in 30 years. No one will know how to work this thing in a few years. You got to go get the new thing. And people just dump their old stuff.
Yeah. It's always weird to me when people feel this external pressure, and like sometimes I have to remind my friends, you know, it doesn't cost you anything to just keep your stuff. I mean, unless you've gone crazy and you have too much stuff, but still, you can. It's okay, really. You know, here's my shoulder. Come here, I'll hug you.
Exactly.
You can really just hang on to your old stuff.
You know, and certainly people argue about fidelity or picture quality, and I'm no critic of those things. I certainly like to sit down and listen, but ask yourself, how many hours of the day if you listen to music, do you sit down and critically?
Right, doing like critical listening.
And how much better is it going to be if you replace that album that you had on a cassette with the CD?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny. The thing you're talking about, you see it now with any kind of MP3 player, is that as the sizes get larger, the second biggest becomes a huge bargain. Mm-hmm. And if you're into bargain websites like Woot, that's a huge one.
Woot.com,
every night at midnight, they change what's on there. You can get a 1 gig MP3 player for like $10.
No, I bought two for $15.
Yeah. And the thing
I used for working out.
I have a bunch of those. I don't have an iPod, not because I'm mad at iPod or anything like that. I just don't have one. And I don't think I'd ever be into having like it full, you know, of 80 gigs of stuff. I don't know. I'm into the swapping out. I don't know. Maybe I'm strange. But I have a 2 gig MP3 player somewhere that I'm really happy with. I don't know. Maybe it's being brought up with just this idea of being content with what you've got. But I don't know. I don't like getting on the technology treadmill where somebody is telling me I have to upgrade my stuff every 6 months. And then all that old stuff goes where? It goes in the landfill.
Well, and then there's those elements when there's all this hype around some new format or some new thing, and it fails.
Right.
And by fail, I don't mean eventually becomes unsupported. I mean it just never takes off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so there are examples of this. There were like 19 different home video formats.
Yeah, you bet.
Before VHS really just became the victor, or before DVD became the victor, and there have been multiple attempts to replace records, to replace cassettes, to replace CDs over the years, and even now SanDisk, which is a company that makes MP3
memory
players
and
memory,
like that, yeah,
has got a format out there.
Oh, great. Perfect.
They're trying to sell to kids mostly.
Awesome.
Where it's an MP3 player, but you sort of buy preloaded cards.
Ah, perfect.
For, you know, right, exactly. Well, how long are we going to see this work?
It's interesting
for, right?
That you bring that up, because one of the things that is a recurring theme thing on Retro Thing is, in the past, when you'd have like, you know, okay, your dad would have a still camera, and there would be some sort of kid still camera you could buy, and it would be big and chunky, and maybe it would take a couple pictures, but it wasn't like a true camera. And the reason you did that is so that there was one that was kid-friendly and it was cheap. But today, there's no reason to do that, because like an adult still camera costs as much as a kid one does. Like James has a young son, and we were talking about all these like... Oh, darn it. What's it called? There's a kid video format that's like these mini DVDs, Video Now, that's what it's called. Hmm. And it's pushed as like just for children, and it plays back in like a little CD player thing with a little LCD screen on it. It doesn't hook up to your television. And it's just as expensive as DVDs to buy.
Right.
It's like, why would you rebuy this when for the same money you could buy them like the little flip open DVD player? I mean, it's the exact same money. And your kids are the only ones who know how to work all that stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So the era of making a kid version of technology is just gone.
Like the Fisher-Price records, which was really a music box?
Yeah, yeah. Or even, well, Fisher-Price made record players.
That's right.
You know, and
a bunch
of them.
Yeah.
I actually have a stereo one. They tried to make a preteen record player. But today, like, there's not value in creating a kid CD player because a real CD player costs the same money.
And these days, it's $15.
Yeah, yeah.
as it turns out.
So yeah, the stripped down kid version, just that's a thing that doesn't exist anymore.
Well, Bahoosh, we're about out of time.
I can't believe
click
it.
Click it up here.
Wow. I've enjoyed it a lot. I like the radio. And that visual stimulation is just way too much.
It's been a blast having you here, and I know we could geek out for another couple of hours. And so I'll be curious to hear what the Media Geek listenership. And we didn't even, and unfortunately, because we ran the women's basketball ran over, we didn't get a chance to stop and have the break and take calls. So I'm hoping that you'd be willing to come back.
I'd love to come back.
Because I know we had a discussion about probably the most popular terms of calls I've had was a discussion we had about pirate shortwave radio.
Oh.
The phones rang off the hook. You all know who you are. Folks are pulling over off the highway just to call us in.
That is very cool.
When we were talking about the pirate shortwave radio. So I know, I think there is real pent-up demand for people to be talking about this sort of thing.
Well, on retrothing.com, when you look at it, it covers a lot of stuff. And we're lucky enough that we have a wide age range that reads us as well. Like we have the adults or older folks that remember this tech the first time through. We have kids who are discovering it for the first time. So there's a little something for everybody. And we do get yelled at because like we're this time sink because the archives are just huge.
Yes.
Right? And we've said this before that like our archives almost have more value because they get older. You know, other blogs, their archives just, who cares? Who cares about a cell phone that came out 2 months ago? But, you know, we just have these articles.
You're talking about persistent stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it just gets more vintage. So I hope that your listeners get a chance to check out retrothing.com and they can email us with requests for stuff to cover or just become part of the fun. It would be awesome.
Well, Bahoosh, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me over. I appreciate it a lot. Hope to see you soon.
And that's another edition of Media Geek. I'll be back in one more week with more news and views of our media environment. And in the meantime, check out Media Geek Online. How geeky is it? At MediaGeek.net, that's home to the Media Geek blog. You also have links to a retro thing there. And the radio shows at radio.mediageek.net, where you can get it by podcast. You can listen in the browser. You can download the MP3, whether you missed it or you want to catch it again. If you have any comments about the program, please send them to me, paul@mediageek.net. And follow along on Twitter. Everybody's Twittering. Twitter.com/mediageek and comments, paul@mediageek.net. Thanks for tuning in. And you are listening to WNUR, Evanston, Chicago. Are you guys ready? All right, looks like they're ready. We are Chicago's Sound Experiment at 89.3 FM. We're going to break some beats here. It's time for the Part-Time Suckers.
All right, let's get started. You may learn something.